Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me today is Dr. Rose Gamblin. And we're going to be talking today on a subject that may not be age-appropriate for our younger listeners, so please bear with us. But we're going to be talking today about something that is hitting the school systems of America now, and that is with gays and transgenders. Now, it's a difficult topic, particularly for Christians. There are those who take issue very, very hard on both sides of it, and yet it's a reality. It does exist. It's happening.
Right, and we're going to frame this. We'll look at the LGBT issues and how to handle it with children.
Yes, that's specifically what we're looking at. We have no intention whatsoever of being judgmental of a person's sexual makeup, but rather we are interested in how you as a parent inform your child.
Yes, and also if they're going to school, they might meet other students that have two mommies or two daddies. They might be given literature to read that show two mommies and two daddies. How are you going to handle that with your young person? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? Are you going to do nothing? So let's first start with the younger grades. We know that the literature there is, you know, it has its own mission, and they're being exposed to it at a very young age. Let's say your child brings home, they check out from the library, or they were assigned to read, My Friend Has Two Mommies, the book called My Friend Has Two Mommies. I don't think there's a book like that, so I can use that as an example. So, Dr. Tooley, your child has brought it home. What would be your reaction?
The first thing that would happen is I'd probably take a step back. But that's a rather dangerous thing, because one of the things I don't want to do with my child is put them in the position of looking at another human being as being something less. That's a problem with religion in a lot of cases, is that we end up viewing people as being something less than we are if they are not of our particular orientation. However, that being said, I do not want my child also to not think that there are consequences for the lifestyle that they will choose to lead later on. And I probably will read the book first myself. I have a little bit of a different position on something like this than a lot of people would have, in that if you don't know something, you can't be informed about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a need to be informed. And even as a child, they need to be exposed to some of these things. But this is a good thing for them to be exposed to with me.
Yes. And I'm thinking, you know, if I had a book that said, I have two mommies or whatever, I'm sure I'm probably reciting an actual book. But what about if I only have one mommy? Or what if I have one black parent and one white parent? Are these all the same issues?
There are similarities in these issues, I believe. You know, they're not what a lot of people see as the norm. But one of the things that we also see, particularly as we have progressed over the decades, is this idea that marriage is not exactly a good thing in a lot of areas. And we have a lot of single-parent families out there. And so then these children with single parents come to school, and they've got people there who have both parents still there, and hopefully that's still a majority. I think it is still a majority yet. it ends up being a situation where these kids will have questions and they'll talk to each other. They're going to talk. Well, you don't want anyone to feel like they're coming from, they're being put down because they don't happen to be what somebody else is. So while we say that there are similarities there, the idea of one sexual orientation is somewhat different than whether you have one parent or two parents or both parents, or now you start running into it when you say you have parents that are both the same gender, etc. And I think it's a good conversation to have with your children. But you have to start from the point of grace first. I mean, the Bible does make it pretty clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament what is considered sin and not sin. It also makes it very clear that those of us who choose to believe someone else is a sinner are in the same boat as that person. For it's the grace of God that saves us. Mm-hmm. So we need to recognize people as being people. That's the first starting point, that they're all in the same place as we are in God's sight. Because once we start parsing out people and saying they don't belong or they don't belong or they don't belong, then we run into problems. Now, I know that some people are going to say, well, so what about ISIS?
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah, they're still God's children. That doesn't stop them from being God's children. And I will be one of the first people to say, I don't want to meet an ISIS person. You know, because I like to live too well. Uh-huh. So in terms of being a danger to society, yeah, I want to be careful on some of those things. But when we're talking about someone who comes to the school who feels they have a different sexual orientation than other people in the school, that conversation then with my child needs to happen at home with me. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about this. Why would someone feel that way? What are the ramifications? How should you treat that person? How should you expect to be treated? What kind of respect are you going to have for each other? Those are the important issues. In terms of one's relationship with God, that's something between that person and God that you have to take it there.
I think, too, that parents should not overreact. A little child bringing home a book, you know, My Two Mommies, it's rather benign. It's just we understand that it's setting up the stage. And even though I didn't teach in middle school for a long period of time, it was certainly an eye-opener when I realized that my middle schoolers had coupled up. The smaller boys had a bigger boy, and they probably were rather innocent in it, but they still were, you know, doing a lot of what we would call man love. I mean, what we called man love. The other teachers and myself, we'd say, now, you know, quit your man loving, because they would hang on each other and they would call each other, you know, their wives and their husbands. They were actually, I had a sense that they were kind of mocking the whole thing. You know, they were trying to make sense of this world that was throwing at them things that they didn't quite understand. And maybe some of them understood more than I thought they did. But I realized that, you know, we're setting up a condition, a culture within the public school system where this was perfectly appropriate and it was encouraged, and it actually was a protection maybe even for the smaller boys.
Yeah, it does give us some issues about gender identity. You know, at what point, for instance, does gender identity actually begin to play in? You know, you have preschool kids and they play alongside each other, they don't play with each other, and yet there's a certain formation of gender identity that even begins at that age. Now, I know that there are a whole group of people out there who want to say, no, gender will be something that is defined socially. Do you believe gender is defined socially, or is gender something that's defined otherwise?
Well, I've read some research where it's stated that gender isn't fully developed until the early 20s, as far as your identity. And so to have this education happening where at middle school, kids are already defining themselves as gay, is disturbing because it is almost taking away their power of choice because they're still forming who they are. And someone is coming along and saying, oh, because you're a pretty boy or because you have some feminine characteristics, that must mean that you were born gay.
Yeah, that does create some issues that we have there. But that would go along, too, with a Christian versus non-Christian perspective.
Yes, we have so many Christian students in public school. How does the parent help them with these issues?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. One of the ways I think they have to do it is actually goes back to how the child values themselves. Let's start.
Yeah, and what role does the teacher take? You know, in my situation, I didn't go and tell the parent that, hey, do you know that your little boy is pretending that he's the wife of this other student in the seventh grade? I didn't do that, you know. Should have I done that?
Yeah, those are some of the questions I think that everybody is struggling with.
Yeah, and I think parents need to know that teachers such as myself who are from, you know, a faith-based mindset where we don't want our children to be forced into a gay and lesbian lifestyle are not saying anything. They're not reporting that back to the parents. The parents don't know that this is a culturally acceptable thing that's happening among students. And if they did, would they take steps, and what steps would they be? You know, I mean, I like to think, placing myself now in the role of the parent, if I knew that my son at school was saying, I'm so-and-so's girlfriend or I'm so-and-so's wife, in a joking way, even, if I knew that was happening, would I talk to my child, or would I just ignore it and say, oh, it's going to pass?
Yeah, some would do it both ways. Here's a point that I think is worth considering, and it was part of early research, you know. When a child was molested by someone else, how the parents reacted to that, a lot of times dictated how that child was going to be able to go on through with life. If the reaction from the parents was one of, oh, that's terrible, that's a bad thing, that's bad, then a lot of times the child would take that and say, well, if it's bad, it happened to me, I'm therefore bad. And they would carry that on. So, and you would see that in other ways. When children watch their parents react negatively to events that involve other people, and if those other people happen to be who that child identifies with, and the child now sees themselves as being with that group. So there's a point here where parents do need to approach these things with a clear head and not with an emotion. They need to be able to approach it intellectually. And so right now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on this topic and see if we can actually come out with some principles that will help the parent.
Coffee, when are we going to get through this jungle?
Don't. No.
Coffee, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Let me see.
This strap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out.
Go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion. Or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion, you can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me here is Dr. Rose Gamblin, and we're talking about some of the issues that go with the LGBT community coming into our schools. Now, as we've talked about this, as Christians, we need to take a careful look at how we react and treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what their orientations might be. They are still children of God. And mm-hmm. we have to recognize that.
And we don't understand what they have gone through. And I just want to bring out a little story. And I know so many of these stories. A high school student, she and her friends were experimenting with some alcohol, and she got drunk, and she had a lesbian type of relationship with one of the other girls. And to this day, now they are married and have children. She hates the lifestyle that she's in. She hates it. But she feels imprisoned by it, all from that one experience back in high school when she was drunk. And I think here again is that example of how people are going to react. You know, rather than feeling free to talk to somebody about it, about this situation, she took the belief that I must be gay. I did this. I must be gay. And that one experience then has shaped her whole life. It really is sad. And I know of a number of stories. I can tell you 5 or 10 stories I know personally that this was the case, that something happened in those formative years when they were middle school or high school that then dictated. And it's really sad because I feel like our public schools, and not every public school, but our public schools has this element in it, and there's no way that we're being able to address it. It really is up to the parent to keep a very open relationship with that child, where the child can talk about the things that they've done wrong as well as what they've done right.
Yeah, that you are bringing up is a very important point. There's two things that come out of this. When bad things happen to children that are considered core value bad things, it's very, very, very destructive to a child's core values. And a lot of times they will end up being wild children. They will mm-hmm. go off the deep end. They will go in all directions, every which way. How the parent reacts makes a huge difference in that mm-hmm. child's life. I heard this from an educator some time back who was talking about dealing with recalcitrant children and children that were pushing out. And one of the statements that person said is when a child comes up and says, I hate you, I'm leaving, or I'm getting out of here, the answer is, I'll love you wherever you go. And as parents, we have to get to that point where we will love our children wherever they go. And the children need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you will never have that open relationship with them where there can be dialogue that goes on. You know, the worst thing in the world that a child can experience, I believe, is to have a parent tell them, you've done wrong, and because of that, you're no longer my child.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And that can be said in ways that aren't that easily spoken. That can be said in actions. That can be said in nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
You have done something that is beyond the pale for me. You are no longer our relationship has shifted. We're no longer going to be able to have that relationship. The trust is gone now. So when we start holding things up for principle's sake, do we destroy something for our own principles?
Yeah.
You know, parents and children need parents to be working with them, talking mm-hmm. with them, interacting with them, open with them. Children look to parents like they look to God.
Mm-hmm.
And parents need to, one of the things I would say that is the best thing you can do for your child is to be open and talking with them. And when things come up, you know, like the child comes home and talks about one of their other peers who does something that is not socially acceptable within your home, that the reaction isn't one that is so violent that it makes that child say, boy, I did something like that and I would be out. You lose that.
Yeah.
But rather to be able to talk intelligently about that and to be able to keep the dialogue going and help the child understand that what they are dealing with when they're dealing with these other people who are in these situations is they're dealing with people who, and I know this goes against fundamentalists a lot and goes against a lot of other religious groups maybe, but the bottom line is, until God says it, everybody is God's child. That's what we have to believe, is that until God says it,
yes,
everybody is God's child. And I know that's going to smack a lot of people the wrong way, but who am I to say someone's not? Now, there are times, Paul talked about the Nicolaitans, and people who want to rub everybody else's face in their sin, yeah, those people need to be dealt with differently. Mm-hmm. But that's a church organization that needs to be dealing with that. And in the home, too, if a child wants to rub the parents' face in the way the child is living their life, the parents do have to come to a point. But if they've actually gotten to that point, that means that prior to that, likelihood is that they haven't had an open dialogue with their child. But even in that situation, if there comes a point where that has to be dealt with, the parent still needs to be able to say, and the child needs to understand that that parent will love them no matter where they go, because that child is their child.
Yes. And that's really what it boils down to. We want to protect our children. We want to love our children. And we want to keep an open conversation going, because it's not just the LGBT or gender issues, but there's all kinds of sin issues out there that our children are looking for answers. And they look to us first. They look to our attitudes, and we really need to love them unconditionally.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about loving unconditionally, that means a lot of different things have to happen that are way outside of some of the things where we are. And I would suggest that for all of you parents out there, when you are dealing with your children, the best you can do now is keep the dialogue open with them and let them know that they are unconditionally loved. It gives you the opportunity to help influence the direction and trajectory of their life.
Amen.
And so, with that, I am Dr. Richard Tooley with Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.